It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Jackie Fatka with CoBank. First off, Senator Tina Smith from Minnesota at a Senate Finance Subcommittee hearing.
If we simply raise the cap on Social Security taxes amongst folks that make $200,000 or more so that they're paying the same rate that people who are making less are paying, that would have a pretty significant impact on the long-term health of Social Security. Do I have that right, Mr. Swagel?
Yes, that would bring more revenue into the system and
right.
extend the life of the trust fund. I don't have the number offhand,
but we
put that out every year.
As you say, you know, there are basically three levers when it comes to Social Security. You know, you can cut benefits or you can raise revenue. Mm-hmm. That would be a fair way of raising revenue into Social Security by asking folks at the higher incomes to pay basically the same as folks that are at lower incomes.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we're joined by Jackie Fatka. Jackie is lead economist with CoBank. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation
today. Okay, a little background about you for those who don't know who you are and your path to CoBank. What's the elevator speech there?
Yeah, well, actually, I'll start with the very beginning. I grew up on a diversified corn, soybeans, cow-calf, and hog operation in southwest Iowa. My dad and brother still farm. I'm technically one generation removed from the farm, but my 19-year-old is wanting to go back to the farm. So that's a little bit of where I started and why this matters. I spent about two decades actually as an agricultural journalist covering ag policy, risk management, and now in my role in CoBank, cover the farm supply and biofuel sectors, also do a lot on the sustainability side as well. So it's great to kind of use some of those lessons and all the stories that I researched and dug into to be able to be on this side and help really provide that insight on what's going on in the market today.
Well, and the fact that you grew up around production agriculture, I guess, gets me right into the first question here. And, you know, we're approaching spring planting season. We've set the insurance rates now. We're watching the markets. But, man, the input side here, that could actually change some acres. What are you watching on the crop input side?
Yeah, so when we look at the input cost, USDA is estimating for corn and soybeans about 3%, little over 3% increase in input cost. And everybody knows too, we're not seeing any relief really on much of any of the individual categories for the inputs. A little bit of relief we thought on the fuel side, but obviously today that is already starting to change as well. So we could actually see input costs go up even higher. You know, we've seen a little bit of relief in interest payments, payment rates, but on the flip side, we're seeing operating loans increase because of the fact that bottom line, we have higher elevated input costs that have really not come down from their highs in 2022. At the same time, we have not seen the commodity prices respond. And you mentioned just the crop insurance rates being set. Where we have those levels right now, we're actually anticipating that we could still see some losses for a lot of folks, depending on how they've priced out and what we see in final yields. So a lot will depend and hinge on what is planted this year, how it's planted, what kind of decisions producers are making to maybe try to pencil out a little bit more of a profit if they reduce some of their inputs on things. So there's a lot at stake this year. You know, for corn producers, this could be entering into the fourth consecutive year of commodity prices not covering returns. How long can that continue? And those are some of the things that we're going to be watching this year.
We're talking with Jackie Fatka. She's a lead economist with CoBank. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, or strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Jackie Fatka, lead economist at CoBank. Okay, Jackie, let's talk fertilizer now. Something going on in the Middle East, and specifically Strait of Hormuz. What are you watching?
Yeah, so the Middle East, very important, and not only just the role that the Middle East plays in a lot of our fertilizer ingredients and fertilizers, but also the timing. So first off, about 50% of urea originates in the Middle East. Iran alone originates 11%, and we're hearing and also, too, just because we don't know how long this is going to last. So the other part of that, 50% of sulfur passes through that strait. That's needed for, you know, both nitrogen and phosphate production, too. So this is a crucial, crucial area where so much passes through. And so not only is everything passing through there, you know, we've seen some headlines you mentioned about being able to get some of that product out if U.S. ships were able to, you know, go alongside and provide that protection. But then what we're actually seeing is that ships aren't willing to do that. That's still a risk that they have to take. And so then we're seeing, you know, whoever's the highest bidder. So what does this matter to U.S. producers as we look forward to the spring? This is again, the timing is crucial. So really anything in middle of March that's going through that strait, in the Middle East would be what would be put on the ground here in North America here in April. So timing wise, how long this lasts, how long this drags out is going to be extremely, crucial. We're hearing some, retailers, just backing away, not offering any bids because they just don't know if they can secure that product. So if we didn't get that product in the hands or producers didn't secure that last fall or summer, which a lot of times we do secure, you know, what next year's crop year would have been last year. But because of this ongoing economics just strain that we had seen, we were noticing some producers were reluctant to make those decisions, and now they could be faced with real problem with maybe making this decision too late.
Yeah, I know we're kind of talking about this, but again, the adjustments we might see in applications, you know, for some producers, it could literally wreck their what they had as planned for 2026. Could we see other adjustments coming along the way? Anything else you can think of?
Well, you know, always, especially with corn and soybeans, you see a lot of shift, just a normal shift between corn and soybeans. You know, last year we had record corn production, corn acres. We did see USDA and CoBank has our analyst. We also have some estimates out on what we see for corn acres. We do see them down maybe 94 million acres of corn, which is down this year. But say we aren't able to get all that fertilizer. And so then we could be seeing additional soybean acres maybe pulled in. They would have to make a decision. You know, we know that soybeans actually are struggling with some of that demand. From a fundamental standpoint, we are not shipping our soybeans overseas. We do have some strong domestic crush capacity here that's been able to utilize, and we can see that benefit from the RVO, the renewable volume obligations for continued expansion, but not enough to probably consume 86, 87, maybe 88 million acres of soybeans if we start to see a big shift. So there's a lot that is a little concerning with this timing, because a lot of times, because of the fact that you don't need the fertilizer for those soybean acres, if you do have problems getting that fertilizer in, we could see a greater shift to soybeans where the fundamentals maybe don't support those higher acres, and we could soften those prices even further, which, again, not what we need right now when we're trying to cover those increasing input costs. We need that value into it. Now, on the flip side of that, we have seen a lot of times when these situations happen, we look back at the Ukraine war, there was a boost that happened to commodity prices because of the energy equivalent. And some of those concerns, we could actually maybe see on that side of the fundamentals, we could see some increase of just the price point that we might be seeing with soybeans. Now, it's still too early to tell, you know, how this all trickles out. We're still watching. This is still really early. We're just, you know, not even a full week into this conflict. But how long this lasts will be important, too, on commodity prices as well.
Our guest today is Jackie Fatka with CoBank. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, special guest Jackie Fatka, lead economist at CoBank. All right, before we go, FBA, Farmer Bridge Assistance. What's happening?
Yeah, so the Farmer Bridge Assistant Program, again, was very similar to last year's Emergency Commodity Assistant Program. And the idea was it was to bridge during this time before the planting season to help cover some of those input costs ahead of the normal Farm Bill programs, the ARC program and the PLC program that pay out in October. So last year's crop, any losses or payments that would be paid through the Farm Bill commodity title safety net, they won't actually get paid until October of 2026. So 2025 losses wouldn't get paid until October of 2026. So this Farmer Bridge payment was designed to try to provide that bridge, as the name implies, to be able to help. Now, what we're really actually hearing, though, from producers is they're not really using that money for buying their inputs. A lot of those inputs were made before. So this program, payments are going out right now. Sign up started February 23rd. We'll see it here in the next couple of weeks where checks are arriving in the mailboxes. But most farmers are using that to apply to their working capital or paying down debt. We're not really seeing it either with buying machinery or anything else. Most of it is being used for those two things, paying down debt and applied to working capital. And again, these aren't huge payments. $11 billion sounds like a lot, but when you boil that down to per acre payments, you know, a $31 payment is really not that much. It barely covers part of your bag of seed. But again, there will be an increase in payments come October, because last year in the One Big Beautiful Bill, they did increase that commodity title payment levels for the ARC and PLC payments. So that does bring some more money. And a major component of the U.S. farm income this year will be government payments. About a third of the total estimated farm income is going to be coming from the government, $44 billion total. So a lot of this is through these government payments from the Farmer Bridge Assistant payment, as well as the increase in the ARC and PLC and some disaster payments, as well as conservation payments and some of those other smaller buckets of government payments that are going out to producers.
Jackie, it's great to see. If we want to keep up with CoBank, is there someplace we can find you online?
Yeah, so I actually put out a weekly newsletter, and people can email me. And my team and I, we send out a weekly gleanings newsletter, we like to call it. And then we also have a website online, cobank.com/knowledge exchange. And I'm happy to send those links to you so you can provide that in your notes if you want, for anybody who's interested in learning more.
It's Jackie Vatka, lead economist at CoBank on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. A recent Senate Finance Subcommittee hearing on Social Security. The chairman from Wisconsin is Ron Johnson.
It was a forced savings program. The idea was we're going to force you to save. We're going to invest it for you. So that money is going to be yours that we'll dole out to you when you if you get just lucky enough to retire. That was the concept. It wasn't a welfare program. So if you remove the cap on the payroll tax, you're going to dramatically increase the marginal tax rate for people. It turns Social Security into a complete welfare system is what it does. That's why, again, I'd be opposed to it. It'd be an incredibly harmful tax. But again, you have to be honest about this. What's how Social Security was set up. This is what taking that top off. Again, those solutions simply don't work. They're economically harmful. They're simply not fair. And what's really not fair is how much we spend on seniors while we're impoverishing our young people.
It's the Agribusiness Report.